Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let's Get Fired. If you have any questions you want us to ask our guest or have any crazy work stories you want to share with us, go ahead and email them to us at letsgetfiredpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's letsgetfiredpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get into it.
Because, like, all I have to do is not wear this, and I'm not threatened by anyone.
You didn't become more racist at all? Maybe a year in Oklahoma would change it.
The dude who has a license plate that says I roast, I just, there's no world where I believe he's 100% straight. I don't think I've ever heard you do any accent. Let's do British. Ask for a cigarette.
Do you have a fa-? Welcome to a new episode of Let's Get Fired. I'm Drew Simon with Quinn Johnson.
Hey.
With the return of Tanner Ralph, the third time.
And the real return.
The real return. Back. I'm back.
He's back in Utah.
Technically, this is my fourth appearance because we did a group one. At Four Corners.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Four appearances within the first. I think this is the 50th episode.
Oh, dang. So, there we go.
Perfect.
There we go.
Look at that. That's exciting.
I didn't realize how fat I was until your last episode that I was on. And then I was like watching myself on the video and was like, jeez, lose weight, kid.
I mean,
like the camera really does add like 100 pounds.
Well, yeah. So. It does. And also,
I felt bad saying this. I had Dennis on.
Uh-huh.
And we never put it out because the camera, I accidentally record the whole thing in slow-mo.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
You couldn't just double the speed?
No, I couldn't get it.
Oh, that sucks.
I think I could now. I'm a lot better at video editing. But at this time,
pretty
I was
simple.
Like, well, this is, we got to scrap it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, hey, that sucks. We don't get to hear that thing. Why did you bring up Dennis? Was it because of that? It was slow-mo or?
Yeah, well, it was because of fat, but Dennis in slow-mo was beautiful. I bet. It.
Yeah.
They make a great, some
appreciate
great
it all.
Yeah, it was really good.
I also like what you said about, man, I just looked so fat in that video. You pretty much looked exactly the same the whole time I've known you.
I know.
But sometimes you just can't see yourself.
Nah, I think that's more of what it is. I think it's just the mental games of like how I see myself versus
the reality.
Radio voice, when you first hear your own voice and you're like, ooh, the hell is that?
Yeah, it's terrifying hearing your own
remember,
voice.
Remember when we did weigh-ins at Improv Broadway?
Yeah.
I lost like 15 pounds from that.
And where
I
are we
know
now?
How much I lost.
I've lost, I'm 35 pounds down from where I was then.
Really?
Hey.
Dude, if I showed you videos from when we did that show in Rexburg, dude, I was pushing 260. I was so heavy.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, hey, we're all getting better, right?
Or staying stagnant.
Okay. I mean, hey, maybe I'm just getting better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I have to get better. I'm running half a marathon in August.
I heard you're, that's insane. So,
in August.
Yeah.
It's coming up really fast.
Yeah. I've been training.
How far have you run so far?
Yeah, farthest run you've done?
2 miles.
Okay. So 2 miles out of what, 15?
Yeah. So
13.1,
13 something? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm increasing every day I'm running, and I'm increasing it by 1/8 of a mile.
Well, how about this?
And so, like, the week leading up, I'm going to run like 8 miles every day.
Well, are you running outside or are you running on like a treadmill in a gym?
Track.
Okay.
Okay. That's fine. But, like, also, another thing you can do is, can you run 2 miles right now without stopping?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now you increase, but it's all just about being able to do the next, like, now you can do 4 miles without stopping.
Yeah.
Now
you
can do that. You have to build the stamina.
So, yeah, that's why I'm just increasing. So the track I'm doing it is, you know how most tracks are four laps for a mile?
Yeah.
The track I'm doing is 8 laps for a mile. So I'm just increasing it by one lap every
day.
One
of the rec centers?
Yeah.
Dude, and just go, you need to increase by more.
Yeah, more than an eighth. I need to increase it by a fourth every day.
Just try.
Well, by my calculations, by the time the half marathon comes, that whole week, I'm going to be running almost 8 miles every day.
Okay. But also, you need to taper off you need to have a couple of days before.
Yeah.
Where you're not running hard. You have to do shorter runs because you need to conserve some of that energy.
That's a good
point. What's the furthest you've run, Quinn? Because you run a lot.
I'm trying to think. Like 10, 12 miles
a day.
Oh, dude, you should do the half marathon with us.
I did. Well,
it's the Provo Canyon.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that.
Provo Canyon.
The craziest run I did, I think that I can remember, it was like 9 miles on like a 6 minute and 9 second pace.
Jeez. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I'm taking back what I said, though. I said I was going to do it under 2 hours, and I rethought that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not.
Just finish it, I think, is a good goal.
I am shooting for 2.5.
Uh huh.
I'm setting a goal.
Honest, dude, just the fact that you could do it at all is going to be cool. Like, you're going to care way more about that. And like, you're like, whatever, because towards the end of that, you're going to be like, I see this be over.
Yeah.
And,
oh, dude, I'm fucked. All right. Anywho, so we have Tanner here. Tanner,
what's up?
We already know you. You're part of the team.
Yeah.
But this episode, we want to get to know you more. Yeah.
Like, you saw the podcast was fun. So you've seen that sometimes this podcast takes a different route.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, we don't need, like, so anyways, want to know more about you?
No, I'm excited. Yeah.
We want to see how Oklahoma shaped you.
Yeah. I want to see. And I was going to ask, last time you said you hadn't said the N-word, I was thinking maybe a year in Oklahoma would change it.
Did not change.
No, did not change.
No, I don't. Yeah.
You didn't become more racist at all?
No.
No? Okay.
Here's the thing I learned about Oklahoma City. Most lesbian bars in the country.
Really?
Wow.
That makes sense, actually. The Gayborhood is
the Gayborhood.
Yeah, there's 39th Street is called the Gayborhood, and it's very well, like, represented and well run and whatnot. A great pride parade.
Yeah, the pride events in conservative states are way more fun.
I was surprised how diverse and welcoming Oklahoma City was towards the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah. A lot of cities, Salt Lake,
that's
like
true.
People come to Salt Lake and they're like, what?
And people have that same Oklahoma City, they'll be like, oh, Salt Lake. And I was like, it's the same as you guys.
Yeah.
It's a liberal progressive city stuck in a deep red state.
Dude, I just saw an article about the Pride Parade that's happening this weekend in Idaho Falls.
Oh.
And that's going to
be. We're going to have Proud Boys stuck in U-Hauls again?
Yeah, that's going to be.
Well, that was Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene is pretty and messed up.
I like that. That was
my brother used to live there. It's a beautiful area.
Oh yeah.
It's also where I feel the like safest and most welcome, because like all I have to do is not wear this and I'm not threatened by anyone.
No, well, also Coeur d'Alene is not what it used to be, because all those people who got arrested from like Montana and South Dakota, like none of them are locals. Growing up in the 90s, Coeur d'Alene, there was a Nazi compound on the lake, and since then, they're not welcomed there anymore.
Yeah.
And then I think per capita, Coeur d'Alene has to have like more gay bars than like
really
cities. Yeah.
Oh,
Coeur d'Alene's like very like cute, like tourist town on the lake.
Lake Coeur d'Alene is beautiful.
It's like very like progressive, like small town. Like there's so many like giant condos that are like 20 floors looking over the lake, and just lots of people moved from like California and different parts of the country. So like most of the people in Coeur d'Alene now aren't even like from Idaho.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think
Montana's going through that too. Like my brother lives in Billings, and people were not happy when he moved in. But then once they found out that we had relatives and ancestors from Montana, they're like, okay, you're cool.
I gotta say, this is really fun.
Yeah,
this is really interesting.
Okay, let's step it back.
Like, I've just been over here laughing.
Let's step it back with some fun Oklahoma history.
I've been covering my mouth because I'm like, I don't want to interrupt because I don't want the laughs to get in on the pod.
I'm sorry, we're just having a fun discussion.
If we want, we can get into.
Let's go back with the racism thing though with Oklahoma City.
I don't want
to
talk about racism anymore.
Yeah, okay.
We can get into the city planning of Coeur d'Alene if you want. And I'd be fine with that.
Here's some fun history of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Just south of Oklahoma City is a town called Moore, which is where Toby Keith is from. That is where one of the pilots of 9/11 got his license.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So
that's cool.
At least they got their license. At least they weren't flying without a license.
That would have been
bad. When 9/11 happened, I was like, are these guys even licensed?
Well, dude, the University of Oklahoma was trying to warn us in like, you know, this whole time, because they were like, boomer sooner.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Should have boomered.
After a year and a half in OKC, big Josh Giddey fan.
Just no. No, you're not.
How did we not see that coming With a name like Giddy, though. You know, like with with Giddy, you're like, come on.
Wait, hold on.
He's got to be getting in
that
trouble.
Was the pedophile guy? I thought you were talking about the Gonzaga player.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
I was like,
why are you so quick to be like, just say no?
No, because I like do not support this Gonzaga player.
No, I don't care for Gonzaga.
Exactly.
Giddy.
And you guys went,
when that news story came out, I was just like, his name's Giddy. Of course he's a pedophile.
You know what's really tragic, though? And like, I understand why he moved back here, because Oklahoma has let go of General Booty.
Oh, did they really?
Booty's no longer on the team.
Where
he transferred.
Where did he transfer to?
I don't know where he went. But he's no longer in Oklahoma.
Well, hopefully somewhere where he can start, because we need the General Booty, man.
Yeah. If people that don't...
That is... Okay, wherever General Booty is transferring to, that's going to be my dynasty team for NCAA 25.
Oh, dude. NCAA 25 looks amazing.
Dude, I cannot wait. It's going to be so
genuinely
fun.
Let's not talk about
how I've already made plans for Greendale Community College human beings for my creative school
NCAA
25.
I've given up video games till December. So
no, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, it's because he's trying to focus.
Focus on what? Your half marathon?
No, we already talked about this. Well, like, I think we already talked about this like a week or two ago.
This already.
Where he's like, you'll go do like a 12-hour day of work, come home, take pre-workout like 9 o'clock at night, and then go to the gym, and then like, go gym, work out, come home, go to bed, wake up like 3 or 4 in the morning, and then do it all again. I'm like, dude, this is not.
Yeah, that's a.
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, after this podcast, I'm going to go run 2 miles.
Jeez.
And then I have to wake up at 4 in the morning for work. So, dude,
who's going to carry the boats?
I can hardly wake up at 8 for my 9 a.m. shift.
The thing is, so Amanda got really into David Goggins.
Fuck that guy.
God.
Hustle culture is the biggest bullshit in the world.
David Goggins isn't a hustle.
David Goggins is not a happy person.
He is. No. Look at him, dude. He looks like he already died.
When you say hustle culture, I'm thinking of like Andrew Tate.
It's the same version of it.
You got to grind.
Yeah.
You got to abandon emotion.
It's
all that matters is the fucking numbers. You
just
get
up. Yeah, exactly. Keep pushing.
Okay, well,
who the fuck are we impressing?
He doesn't talk about numbers. He doesn't talk about...
But see, me and Tanner are coming at it from different angles.
Yeah,
coming at this for I hate him who he has as a person. Tanner's coming at it because he doesn't want to work out.
That's also true.
Yeah. Well, I also... So I made fun...
It just makes me feel guilty.
I made fun of my wife, like, terribly. I made fun of her a ton.
Uh-huh.
And then I listened and I was like, dude, it's kind of sick. The thing is, the dude did all his crazy shit before he was like famous. Like, it's not about like trying to impress people.
Yeah, that tends to be how famous people happen, is they get famous for the thing.
Well, he's not trying. Yeah. But the thing was, like, he wasn't like, you know, like Andrew Tate shit where it's hustle, you gotta hustle and grind.
It's not just Andrew Tate. It's just like this culture of like all that's the only way you can exist.
Yeah.
You gotta be an alpha.
No. I agree with that.
It's like you can just work out.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You can also take a nap and be happy.
Sometimes you can't just always burn the candle at both ends of the stick.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I agree with that. Anywho, so
it's also another way of like being like, well, I can't, I have no time for therapy.
So Amanda got into David Goggins, and I had to get ready for this half marathon because I wasn't gonna do it. Mm-hmm. But your wife can only call you a pussy so many times before you're like, fuck, I have to do it.
Yeah.
So
ironically, it's kind of a pussy move.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what that is? I should just get fat as shit.
That's actually kind of sick.
That's the man
I would
do.
I would respect that so much more.
The traditional American home. Yeah. It's a fat ass American dad. It doesn't give a shit what his wife says.
Amanda doesn't listen to the podcast. Do we like keep this a secret and just every episode I get fatter and fatter?
Yeah. It's great. I think it'd be cool, dude. But then ironically, like, you just kind of start to lose weight because you start to finally feel free and be like, you know what? I'm not actually going to eat a ton right now, because like, sometimes you eat to fill the void, you know? And now the void is good.
And then
you're like, oh, I can just have a normal meal. And then, you know, you're in a good headspace. And then all of a sudden you become good and whole and rich. And you actually look like a real person people want to fuck. And
instead of having to tape a picture of David Goggins over your face.
This is going
to
be me in 2 years. Watch. So anyways, cool. David Goggins got to you.
No, definitely. I made fun of that guy relentlessly for the last
few
years. I think there's still some benefits of the idea of being okay with uncomfortable things. That's what I'm not saying you want to be, I'm like, getting into him isn't like, oh, I'm going to be this guy where I'm going to be running 25 miles a day. That's insane. Like trying to be like him or doing what he does is crazy.
I appreciate that.
There's good lessons learned in his book. And it was mostly like, I tend to gravitate towards doing the most comfortable thing, which for me, that's playing FIFA 23. And not I'm 24. Trying. Well, no.
It's not even FIFA at this point.
It's FC 24. So I'm trying to do more uncomfortable things.
Like what?
Well, one was turning off the... Amanda is like, we should just sell it at this point. And I might sell my PlayStation. Wait, also, well, NCAA is only coming out on PS5 and so I have a PS4. So
you might have to sell it.
Yeah, I might have to sell it.
Yeah. And so actually, it's actually a bit of a smart move on your part. Like, we should sell it.
It's an investment.
Yeah, absolutely sell it.
Yeah.
And then here's what you do. You just set aside every paycheck, like $20, $20, $25. And then after a couple paychecks, you're like, you just walk home with a PS5.
How much is a PS5 running for these days?
The cheapest one's $400.
That's not bad.
Obviously, I mean, I would just buy it new. You can find my Facebook Marketplace. But $400. But that one doesn't have a disc drive. $500 is one that has a disc drive.
Yeah.
I have a PS5, but I barely even use it.
Do you need the disc drive these days? I always like having the backup.
No, but. I mean, like, it's just like, it's not. Also, the $500 one has a bigger hard drive. So you don't have to buy
has an
external,
a hard
bigger hard drive.
But you can get an external hard drive.
You
that's
can.
What I have for my PS4.
Yeah, no, you absolutely can. But it's different on the PS5 and Xbox One because the internal storage is so much faster than the external.
Oh, really?
And then some games don't even run unless they're on the internal storage.
That's
but
so
like on the Xbox One, but you can still have them downloaded on your external storage. But you have to transfer them to the internal for it to play if it's a modern game.
Oh, it sounds like a downgrade.
Yeah, but old games can run off of the external.
Oh, really?
But
also graphically, the PS5 never wowed me. Like it never like.
Well,
I play the Nintendo Switch, so any video game, any system better than that always wows me.
Pretty good.
It does look good, but from PS4 to PS5. I feel like graphically, it's the lowest jump we've ever had.
It's incremental upgrades. I mean, obviously, but like the biggest thing nowadays is like frame rate and like fidelity. And so like, I mean, it's like what PC's all been all about forever. Where it's like when you play a game, it's like, oh, it's 120 FPS. And then you play that same game on PS4 and it's 30.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're really in the Stone Age. So like right now it's all about frame rate. Anyways, fun stuff. Haha. Love it. So, hey, anyways, do you have any members of your family who are pedophiles?
No, I don't. At least not that I know of.
Yeah, that you know. What's
hell of a surprise.
Is your greatest accomplishment in life?
Oh shit. Man, this is where I feel terrible cuz I don't know.
What's
not something, like, what trying to make you feel what's something you feel proud about?
Recently I opened for Sal Vocano. That was pretty cool.
He seems
like I sent out a tape to his agent and there's a few other comedians who sent out tapes and they watched and selected mine and had me open for him, do 30 minutes.
Dude, that's pretty cool. How did you find
theater.
His agent?
They found me. So because I had been performing with the Bricktown Comedy Club, the agent was just like, hey, any comics you'd recommend? And so I was just part of the batch that was recommended.
There you go.
He seems like a nice guy.
Shout out. Dude, he was way cool. I only got to talk to him for like 3 minutes because he showed up right before the show and just, and then did VIP stuff afterwards with the fans and stuff. But yeah, he was very nice, very kind.
Yeah, it was, he's like, you're my opener?
Yeah, so my brother was mission companions with one of the producers of Impractical Jokers.
Oh.
So he's like, oh, that's awesome. You know Jake, man. That's pretty cool.
Anyways,
so yeah.
Okay. Did you ask him, like, what's better, French toast or fried potatoes?
I hadn't watched that podcast yet, but I heard they killed it, too.
It's over?
Yeah, because they can't, like, travel to meet each other. And
too much?
Like, yeah.
Oh, it sucks. There's some iconic clips from that, though, when they're like, Sal's, like, he's going, like, red in the face, screaming about, like, grilled cheese.
Yeah, I remember there was an episode where it was like peanut butter and jelly versus grilled cheese, right?
And like, what's his name? Who's the other guy on it?
Grilled cheese, for sure.
Who's the other guy on it?
It's Chris DiStefano,
no,
isn't
it? No, it's not. That's Hey Babe.
Oh.
No,
Chris D'Elia.
I wish.
No.
No, it's...
Speaking of pedos.
Anyway, who's the dude who fucked the transsexual girl at the Skank Fest?
Oh, DeRosa.
Joe DeRosa.
Yeah.
And he just can push anyone's buttons.
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Sal is funny when you push his button because, he gets super red.
Yeah.
The DeRosa thing at Skankfest was crazy. That was all everyone was talking about because that happened day one in like the first hour.
Were you there?
I wasn't. They were
no, like,
the
did
bathroom.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the one, the Skankfest you were at.
Did you go to Skankfest?
Yeah, this last one. Yeah.
No.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no, no, I wasn't there.
I don't think
there.
So. No. Dude, you got to play it cool. You're like, yeah. I heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was also, in town like, I heard about the thing.
Anyways, like, there's... Anyways, I may have performed there, but, you know, like, yeah, okay, no big deal. Anyways, it didn't, like, change my career or anything.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't, but.
Dude, I thought the first festival I went to, I thought it was going to change my career.
That's,
I had.
Actually, yeah. That's so.
I had a script.
Four corners.
I thought I was going to get an agent out of that. I had a movie script ready to pitch. Yeah.
What?
What was the movie script?
It was the Intramural. It was the one about Intramural flag football at a small college.
Oh, wait. When we did a table read for?
Yes, we did do a table read for that one. Yeah. God. And the first draft was even worse.
Oh, well, I bring that back.
Yeah.
No,
I want to rewrite it.
Yeah.
I still liked it, but definitely after the table read, I was like, ooh, I'm glad I'm hearing this out loud.
It's different.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's like I know someone who was telling me that like sometimes they take like days off of going to open mics so they can just stay home and write. And I'm like, that's cool. But you know, it's more important than that. Getting on the stage.
Yeah.
Because
shout
out Drew. and sometimes you can write something down. You're like, that's funny. And then until you open your mouth and you go, well, that's actually stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The Four Corners, though. But like I thought I'd get an agent. I had a movie ready. The first night we're there, we go to an open mic. So the festival hasn't even started yet. We go to the open mic and we all killed. It was me, it was Joe Holt, it was Georgina. I can't remember her last name now. Plus, she just got married, so it's different anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, it was all three of us and we all killed at this open mic. And I was like, oh, we're going to run this town. And then the festival started. We went to the first one and the host was just so uncomfortable and awkward, and I was like, oh, who didn't they invite to this festival? And as it just slowly got worse from there, and then I went up on a Saturday afternoon to an empty theater of like there's maybe 12 people, three of whom might have been not comics, spread out in a theater. Everyone knows a spread theater also is just the funniest place.
That theater seats at that college?
Yeah. Right? No, it was a different theater than where we went to.
The one at that college seats 600.
Yeah.
And there was I remember for, I don't know for you, but yeah, you guys went in the morning, had like 12 people.
Yeah, I didn't have
a 600 seat theater.
Oh my God.
At least I got to perform twice at that festival. This one, it was only once. I went out on a Saturday afternoon. No one was there. And the train behind me kept interrupting the set because it was picking up people and going around. That's and it was just awful. Cool. So yeah, I drive home. I was like, I thought this was going to be the start of my career.
Well, I think there's a lot of comedy festivals.
Oh,
that
yeah.
are just scams.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, dude, pay us $50 to watch your tape.
So the person who ran that festival went to Skankfest to the open mic on Kill Tony. What? And it's one of the worst bombs you can watch on Kill. It's the most uncomfortable thing you can watch.
Oh, my God.
The chick who ran the whole Four Corners Festival. Amanda and I run into her the first day at Skankfest, and she's like, what is this? Like, this isn't a real comedy festival. Like, this isn't... Dude.
Oh, my God.
And Amanda and I were like, nice. We're like, yeah, this is crazy. Like,
yeah.
It was
so organized.
It was Big J shoved a gun up Lewis's ass, and she's like,
incredible.
That's not comedy.
That's not comedy. No,
it's not funny at all.
And then she's like, what's funny about that? So then the last day of the festival is Kill Tony, and she signs up. Bombs harder than anyone ever. She gets aggressive with Tony and the Legion of Skanks.
Oh my God.
It's one of the most, I mean, it's, if you love a train wreck, it's awesome
we'll
to watch
it after this episode.
It's pretty uncomfortable.
I do like
though.
A bit of a train wreck.
Like, it's,
sometimes it can be a little much, but I'm
right.
Now I have to see
it. But it's the reason you watch Kill Tony is like,
well, I can't even watch Kill Tony all the time because of that.
Yeah.
Also, because sometimes Tony, I'm like, he just seems a little too mean.
Oh yeah, he's definitely.
Well, you know, dude, that's why whenever Dr. Phil is on, I watch because I'm
Adam Ray's so fun
because he makes it silly,
yeah,
and then it like makes Tony happier, and then I feel everything's better.
So
you know,
dude, in Oklahoma City,
really good. I love Sam Talent.
From living in Oklahoma City, there's a lot of Austin comedians who'll come up for the weekend or something. Yeah. You'll do shows with them, and this one Austin comic's like, yeah, Tony Hinchcliffe's kind of an asshole. And I was like, I don't think that's a surprise to anyone here.
No.
Yeah, no one. I don't think anyone's I'm more surprised you thought he wouldn't be.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like, whoa, he's who he is, who he says. Also,
yeah,
the dude who has a license plate that says I roast.
And is that, like, does he really?
Yes. On his Corvette. And then he also, like, the outfits he wears. I mean, dude, I mean, I think, of course, he's angry. Like, if I just, there's no world where I believe he's 100% straight.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
There's just no world where I see that.
This is the problem. So I take people, like, face value for what they say.
Yeah,
and so I'm like,
good.
He says he is. And so Amanda and I get in these arguments where I'm like, no, he is. He says he's straight. And Amanda all the time is like, there's no way he's straight, like, yeah, at all. And
I want to see Drew as a judge. Now he's like, yeah, did you do it? No, Jay Simpson's no. Like, no. Like, well, like, all right, well, you know what?
I don't know.
He said no.
I don't know what to tell you, guys. Sorry. Like, no, it is like, I know what you mean, because, like, sometimes I can fall into that where, like, I'm a little like, why not? But then, like, I don't know. It's I don't know. It's funnier to live in that world, though, just to be like, well, they said it. The government said everything's fine.
Yeah.
The government said there was WMDs, so yeah, there has to be.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to kill a million
of them. They're still there somewhere.
So I will say that the lady who booked the Four Corners Festival, after that Kill Tony appearance,
because
on my bio that was on the Skankfest website, I like put that I did the Four Corners Festival, and immediately I deleted that from my bio.
Yeah, I do. There's nothing. Like, no one even knows what it is.
No.
Yeah, no.
Like, no one out, like, I think barely even people from the states that are the Four Corners even are aware of what the Four Corners
and
are.
And I didn't know. Because
what's the dumbest thing to be like, there's four states that touch.
Dude, the crazy thing is being there and being like, oh, this guy's from Atlanta. This other comedian's from Florida. I'm like, why did you come to this?
No, well, no, this, no, because it's exactly.
It's a good networking opportunity, but it's not.
It's exactly what you're thinking, though, where in your head you're like, I'll find the right person and they'll open the right door. And then, like, it's good for networking, which I hate that term, because it's like, you're not like viewing someone as a person. You're like, you're an opportunity.
Yeah.
And you're going to help me. And it's just like, I don't know. There's just so many of these comedy festivals that happen. I'm like, I don't hear anything about it. Nothing happens from them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, I also say this because I just don't want to pay money to submit anything. So I'm just going to assume that none of them are good.
You can tell by their headliners, but usually you don't know who the headliners are until after submissions are done.
I don't know. It's also like, maybe I'm projecting a bit, but I just don't sign up for them.
Yeah.
Well, they cost so much money to submit.
And then I have to fly out there.
Yeah.
Vetting them. Yeah. If they don't pay for like accommodations or like travel or subsidized travel, at least a little bit, it's a scam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like now, like if I'm going to apply for some, I'm making sure they pay for at least part.
So there was a summer where I applied for as many as I could and I lost so much money on it because I went to the Sacktown Comedy Get Down Festival, which that one is a pretty legit festival now that I've been to a few. That one was pretty legit. Shout out to Sacramento. They're cool. Mm-hmm. Portland, Maine was awesome, but just unorganized. But they had a lot of cool comics and like some good headliners and stuff. Just there was no communication for any of the comics. And then I did Four Corners that same year. And then I was supposed to do Dunlap, Iowa, but I had to drop out because I was like, I can't keep going to all these places. I only make so much money.
All those ones make you pay for like your hotel
and submissions and stuff.
You know what I think is honestly a better option? Just go to a city like Portland.
Yeah.
That's us all the time. Someone just hops in the Facebook group and says, hey, I'm a comic from this place. I'm just going to be visiting for the weekend. Think I can hop on any shows?
Yeah.
They always got on shows.
Mm-hmm.
You get a... Just go, you just stay in the town and then you just hit all the mics, you do some shows, and then you get to know a lot of the comics in the town and then you meet people, hang out. And I'm like, I feel like that is like better.
It's a million times better.
It's like, you're actually getting to see what these other scenes are like and then get to actually and then hang out with comics and do local shows. Like, I'm like, that seems like, because that's the whole thing. You want to do the comedy festival to do a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, I don't know. Also, someone's like, come to this comedy festival. Like, who's there? Like, no one, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would not go to that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, there's so many of them that I didn't know that there were festivals that were scams till I went to the Four Corners one. And then, like, after the first day, because, like, my first show was in a bar.
oh, perfect. Oh, yeah. And the festival's at a bar show.
The comedian stands at the front door of the bar.
Perfect.
Like, right at the front. The audience, like, in the back. By the time I went up, there was nobody who wasn't a comic on the show.
Perfect. No, I did. Yeah, I told you guys, I did comedy at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, that's right.
Did two shows just because I was like, I have to see the stand up here. So I went to like a random stand up show. It's crazy. It was like beneath the castle.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy going there. I just watched the show. And afterwards, I just talked to the host. Like, oh, I do stand up. She's like, go and do 5 minutes tomorrow. I was like, sure. And like most nervous I've ever been before I went up because like just like it's already weird.
It's already weird
doing stand up in another state. In another country.
Yeah.
Like
I'd be terrified.
And you're so aware of how American you sound. Like, because everyone sounds so like they just sound so cool because like every word they say, you're like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, and you know, then you get up there, you're like, what's happening, guys? And like, it's just you know, like, but it was fun, but like also like some of the worst stand-up I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I know I've said this before. But this one girl, we just like, because like there's just people on the street promoting their shows. Like we ran into, who's that guy? I heard this New York comic.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm trying to remember his name, but like you'd know who he is. Like mm-hmm. I just like happened to run into him. He looked fucking exhausted. And I was
really?
Like, what's up, man? He's like, just, because they have to do like 30 days in a row. He's like,
yeah.
Long show. But we ran into this like weird like Norwegian girl or no German girl. She's like, yeah, I have a show. Come see it. And we're like, we kind of befriended her a bit. I was like, okay. And she did like a 45-minute show and like a fucking like just like broom closet.
Ugh.
And like it, I mean, it was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
It was so bad. But like you're locked, but you're locked. It was like a stand-up storytelling. They're all about storytelling in the UK. So it's like in the Europe, I don't know. It's like we're like locked in there though.
Because like James Acaster got big through the Edinburgh. So like there are some big names that go through
great.
There.
He's a great comic.
So like, yeah, there's exceptions.
Like, there's great comics there, but like mm-hmm. the beneath them,
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
And
not enough just to let everyone in.
But this girl, yeah, you can go like it's essentially like off Broadway. You can do that shit there where it's like you're not officially in the Fringe Festival, but you can do.
Oh, gotcha.
You can just go there and do shows.
Yeah,
and so yeah, this girl. It's like the room's so small. Like I want to leave 5 minutes in, but I'm like I can't. I don't want to like make her feel bad. So I just sat and watched the whole thing.
Should we do the Fringe Festival this year, the Salt Lake one?
Oh. No. Well, we did it last year.
I didn't.
Maybe three other guys.
Happy Valley put a show on for the Fringe last year.
Oh, did they really? How was that?
You were in Portland. That's why you didn't.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like six people.
I did a play for the Fringe Festival 1 year.
Oh, yeah?
It was a buddy I met at Improv Broadway wrote it. It was a fun play, but like, yeah, there's hardly anyone showed up. Yeah, it was always uncomfortable.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So what's
your guys' favorite accent to do?
Ooh.
Accent?
Yeah.
I love doing an Irish accent.
I can't do accents.
Well. Irish always for me turns into like Australian.
Do it.
So Irish. So like everyone give it up for Queen Dexter.
I mean, you're already doing Scottish. Scottish.
You see, that's my problem. Is
Scottish
like,
right off the bat. I'll do an Irish accent.
Yeah, okay.
You'd be like, what, do you want to go down to the farm?
You want to go down to the farm?
You go a little better. We're going to that farm. Go, the cracks good like.
Cracks good like.
Yeah,
like I couldn't hear what the second
the cracks
was.
Good like,
dude.
That's the other problem when I do Irish. I just get a little more staccato with everything.
But you're going like fucking cartoon character.
Yeah.
Like that's who I really want to hear do an Irish accent is Drew.
Oh, dude.
What do you do? Actually, I'll
give us
give
us an Irish phrase. No, yeah,
any accent,
dude.
I don't think I've ever heard you do any accent.
That's a good point.
Well, I can't
try. I want to go down to the farm.
Give him an accent and give him a phrase to say.
What do you think would be easier for you? Irish, British? Let's do British.
British is easier, yeah. Okay. Like, order fish and chips.
Yeah,
with a cola.
No, this is gonna be so bad.
I'll get some fish and chips.
Oi, bruv.
I mean, I don't even know where you're at right now. You're just like in the middle. You're like a Welsh right now.
Fish and chips. Dude, that was good.
I like
wasn't
that.
Bad.
Yeah.
Dude, be like, how would ask for a cigarette?
Do you have a fag?
Hey, not bad.
See that when you want to free that window. See, you just have to open the door. You just have to open the door for you.
What are like British slurs? That's what I'm trying to think of now. What?
Puff.
Really, what is that? Is that for gapers?
Yeah, it's like essentially their version of fag.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could be puffed.
Yeah.
I'm trying, you know, piss means it's a lot harsher out there.
Yeah, I know, like, piss off is like
fanny pack.
Really?
It's like, well, I don't think
I did hear fanny's a bad word, which makes me giggle because fanny here is
show
just
us
like,
your fanny.
It's just such a funny word.
But yeah, so they're, I kind of like, I lost a lot of respect for England.
Really?
Yeah, just go there.
Yeah.
You know, just, you'll just be like, yep, this sucks. Yeah, London's all you got.
I heard the food's terrible.
The best food there is like Indian food.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard like you want to go for like the curries.
It's like,
and
what's
stuff.
The one thing you like? What,
when
like,
do you want to go to India for the curries?
Dude, my dad.
It's in the same way that like American Mexican food is different than Mexico Mexican food, too.
Dude,
though.
My dad pointed this out. He's like, name a British restaurant in America.
Yeah.
That's a great.
What's the British thing we got here? Fish and chips.
That's really.
We don't even do it right.
Dish,
we don't even do it right. The fish and chips out there is good. The best fish and chips I've had was in Ireland. But
what? How does Britain do it differently?
I don't know. It just tasted better in Ireland. Ireland.
Right. Fair enough. Just, I mean, Ireland has just, great Irish stew. Great corned beef.
The food in Ireland is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, because like all like the burgers you have, all the beef, it's all Irish beef. So it's like their food's pretty good.
Who's the comedian who's like, I refuse to believe England went over and fought so many people just for spices to never use?
It's probably.
Sounds like a Hassan bit.
I don't know. Well, you know, I don't know. Probably.
I mean, I butchered it, but.
Well, he probably was lying. Yeah.
So. Here's a fun question.
Okay.
What's a guilty pleasure song?
Ooh. Yeah.
I like that.
That's great. It's hard to say because, like, I don't feel guilty for anything I listen to.
Come on. You know what we're getting at.
Okay. My girlfriend's really turned me on to Chappell Roan.
I like Chappell Roan.
Yeah,
she's a guilty pleasure.
Wait, is she guilty?
She's
hot to go.
Fucking amazing.
All
artist.
The time, dude. All the time. I'm like Hotto.
You're just fucking.
But I'm not embarrassed to listen to.
Why did you say that? Because you're nervous. You're nervous because she's a lesbian.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm trying to think of something that is embarrassing to me.
Tell us.
I don't know.
Do you do you like Imagine Dragons?
No, I'm not an imagine like.
Do you like Nickelback?
I'm probably like listening to all the like the old Dashboard Confessional and like emo stuff that is way
but
more
emo's
problematic.
Sick.
I love emo.
Dude,
emo's sick. And
this is my problem though.
Like stuff is like the rap
I want to answer.
When I was in high school.
I know.
Like Unk.
Unk?
Yeah.
Who?
You don't remember Unk from 2005?
Drew?
No, okay.
You live a different life. Dude. Come on.
You know what? You know what's fun is sometimes I'll look up metal covers of Bluey.
Okay.
It's not like I'm embarrassed by it, but that's definitely a weird one.
But you like genuinely listen to it?
Yeah, sometimes I'll genuinely
just
like
throw that on.
Yeah.
And Okay. We're getting somewhere. Do you ever like you know, casually just like, you know what? It's time for some Mormon Tab.
Not Mormon Tab, but you know, yeah. Every now and then, I'll sing like "Abide with Me till it is eventide" to myself.
Yeah.
Every now and then, if I'm a little stressed out, I'll be like,
"The hymns will never leave
with
you.
Me tis eventide."
I know. Okay,
I love that song.
That was a sufficient.
You know what? Actually, there is a one. You know, they always release like the Mormon Tab albums where they have like a like an actual singer come in.
Oh
and
yeah,
they, like the, they'd be like their background singer. Yeah. They have this like Welsh opera singer dude come in, and like he sings like they did. All the songs are just sick. Like he's carrying it. Also, they had James Taylor do it. That's pretty cool.
James Taylor did the Motabs.
James Taylor did went and. Sang with the Melbourne Tabernacle Choir.
Really?
Yeah.
My
mom's wet dream.
I was going to say, my girlfriend loves James Taylor, so JT. I'll have to play that for her.
Shout out to Justin Timberlake, by the way. Dude,
I heard in part of the incident, he was like, this is going to ruin my tour. And I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't have driven drunk, Justin.
Yeah, but also...
You're rich enough to afford...
Did you see what they found in his bloodstream?
No.
Poppers.
Ooh.
What is that?
Poppers that loosens
is,
your...
It's stereotypically like a classic kind of like
it's a gay drug, right?
Gay drug. It's like it's kind of like your huffing glue. It's in this little bottle and you unscrew it and you just like you sniff it and it's like you can smell it immediately when like
really?
Someone has it around you and it's super fun. It lasts for like 30
like
seconds.
Whippets?
Kind of like feels like you're kind of like it's like a weird head.
Am I understanding it right? It helps loosen your bunghole.
Apparently,
so that
it can loosen your butthole. But it's also just fun to do like in the crack. I have it. I have it in my house right now.
Oh, there we go.
And it's like it's fun. So like. Anyway, so he has poppers.
That's
so fun. Shout out to Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Guy knows how to party.
Yeah, dude.
Make some great music too, though.
I love Suit and Tie.
2020 experience. Such a good album.
I love that.
Dude,
album.
The whole album. And
chime in, Drew.
Yeah, second part album. Two.
You know Unk though.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Don't Act Like a Bad Thing to Fall in Love, that song. If you took out the swear words, it's such a like Disney ready song.
Well, yeah, I mean he's halfway he's almost there.
That's true. But,
I mean, like, well, like Suit and Tie, amazing.
Great song. Mirrors is good.
I think that's my least favorite song on the album.
Let the Groove Get In. That's a great one.
Strawberry Bubblegum.
Body Count. Strawberry Bubblegum is amazing. Yeah.
Also, have you heard that new guy, like Tommy? Never mind. But this is, we can't get into this music TikTok shit. Let's just talk about, you know, Drew, what's a guilty pleasure for you?
Yeah.
Right now.
Cool. Right now. Definitely, I've been watching, well, listening, because it's while I'm driving truck. I can't watch anything, but I listen.
Music.
Music. Guilty pleasure music. Oh, yeah, I'm really into like this Appalachian folk music right now.
Hell yeah.
Dude, yeah. Maybe some of these things you shouldn't say aloud.
Yeah.
You said that last time I mentioned it.
Do you listen to the just soundtrack of October Sky? Just it's slow down Appalachian music.
Yeah, no, that I don't know. I like real Appalachian. Oh. Yeah.
God.
Dude. Some of those
I like that real incest.
Yeah.
Dude, let me
you know what the history of those Appalachian music is, right? But it dates back to like 15th, 16th century Europe in England. Is these people, when they were getting hung for their crimes, would give their last confession so that they'd make right with God before they were killed. And then these songwriters would write down their confessions and then turn them into songs and sell them as songs, which is why so many
pretty sick
old Appalachian and Tennessee country songs are people like, and then I pushed her into a river and watched her die.
That's pretty, that's kind
of
cool.
Here, actually, listen to just the first 5 seconds of this.
So you're, just, so, you're just, so, you're just in, so you're just in your you're just DOT certified flying down the freeway.
Yeah,
that
the toothpick in your
have
mouth.
You ever played Convoy while driving in your truck?
No, I have.
Oh, you got to do that.
Yeah, I gotta.
How about this? Okay, we did music. Guilty pleasure comedian right now.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'll answer first.
Yeah.
Go first. Give
me today at my truck, I listened to the whole Gringo Poppy.
I mean, it's like 23 minutes, right?
Yeah,
it's not long.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never, today it dawned on me, I've never seen it all the way through beginning to end. And I'm like, well, I'm driving. I have nothing else to do. So I did it.
How was it?
Dude, it was pretty, it was great. It's actually a masterpiece. I think not for the reason like he thought it was, but it's...
I mean, you can't just say it's not iconic.
Dude, it's incredible.
Like, there's not a lot of specials that are iconic.
You can, that's where a good you can point. Just name the that's name and you just immediately...
They go, Gringo Poppy's a punchline.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's what I think Louis J. Gomez ends his special by mentioning it. You know, ironically, though,
Lewis
Dave
special.
Smith's might be worse,
dude,
than Gringo Poppy.
Who's
Dave Smith?
I don't think I've seen that one.
He put it out like a year ago, and it's I was getting excited for it.
I was
it
excited too because
that I saw it.
Well, I saw him, and comedy is such a different experience live too. And so, like, we saw him at Skankfest. We're like, oh, he's actually not bad, like he's a good comedian, like because the joke is like Dave Smith's the least funny of all the skanks, and so I was like, oh dude, I bet this special is gonna be good because we saw him at Skankfest and killed, and it was so bad.
Well, I get confused too because he's smart and he's like he can say some really funny shit on the podcast.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm like, that's why
he's so
when
funny.
You watch it, I'm like I just was confused because I was like, I'm like, I feel like you're better than this.
Well, there's a few comedians I feel like there's that. There's some comedians where I'll never listen to their specials, but if they're on a podcast, I'll listen almost every time.
That's how I feel sometimes about Tim Dillon. I didn't love his Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I've seen him live. The first time I saw him live, he was great.
Oh,
And then second time, it wasn't bad. But yeah, like him, like he has to get on a good rant and then it's good. But honestly, I haven't really listened to him a lot recently.
Really?
Yeah. I'll see like clips here or there. Also, I don't get to listen to podcasts as much anymore.
Oh, yeah. I listened to Tim Dillon last week.
Yeah. Well, it was on like his Patreon. Like, I would listen to like everything. And then now, I don't know. Like, ever since you kind of really started getting big, it hasn't been quite the same.
Yeah.
But anyways, guilty pleasure, though. Do you have one, Tanner?
The first, like, gut instinct is Dane Cook. I'll still listen to Dane Cook every now and then.
I did listen to his latest special. Because
I haven't heard his latest ones.
I have to know what he's doing now.
Is it good?
I mean, there's an interesting story he tells about, like, this stalker he had.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, it's just Dane Cook. And then the whole time, I think at one point he really shouts out his wife. And then that's when I remembered that, you know,
she's 25 years younger than him.
And they started dating when she was 18. And he definitely knew her before that.
Yeah.
And I just think that's cool.
Yeah. Is he buddies with Chris D'Elia?
Probably
they
not.
Do double dates together.
Ironically, probably don't think so.
Yeah,
really,
don't think so. I think he independently.
Also, I don't think I don't think those people hang out. They're not really. They don't really have a group.
They're like drug dealers. Hey, like, hey, this is my territory.
Hey, new tip for you.
Yeah, they're rogue. They are lone wolves.
Yeah,
I will say I have seen some clips from Chris D'Elia's new special, and pretty much these are how all the clips I've seen go. He just goes, why was I canceled?
Chris D'Elia, I think you can find it on YouTube, but like when they talk about how like you can just screenshot Snapchats and his face is like, oh.
Oh, yeah. No, it's pretty great.
It's the best face I've ever seen.
Dude, I'm trying to think who's a guilty pleasure for me right now, comedian-wise. I don't know. Maybe those Chris D'Elia clips. Those are fun to
watch.
Those
are fun.
I don't know, man. It's a fun world. I feel like I need to see Nanette. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't watched that one.
I tried
either.
To get through it because she got a second one recently.
Well, she did because
it was
the first
showcase.
Well, the first one did so well. Because remember, she was like, I'm quitting comedy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The first one did so well that she got to go on tour and make money. And she's like, well, I guess I won't quit.
Hold on.
Yeah. I guess
it's kind of like how Logic said that his last album.
Oh,
and he's like, yep, it's going to be the last one. And then he's like, no, it's my last of the Young Sinatra albums.
Yeah. Also, when Logic says the N word, I'm like, you shouldn't say
that.
I know he's like half black, but I'm like, it just does.
You
not.
Look too much like Squints.
Like Russell Wilson.
I think about Russell Westbrook. And I was like,
what? No, Russell Westbrook can say
like, Russell Westbrook, I feel like I definitely see.
Russell Wilson.
No. Russell Westbrook, I every time I see him, I'm like, there's no way this guy's not an Ninja Turtle.
My favorite Russell Wilson thing was 2 years ago when he joined the Broncos and bought that ridiculous house. There's a whole TikTok channel devoted to just seeing if he could finally surpass the number of bathrooms with touchdowns, and it took him most of the season.
Oh my God.
That is funny. Dude, going back to Hannah Gatsby, so they gave her... She got to showcase her favorite comedians on a recent Netflix special where she went up, just did like 5 to 10 minutes, and then she brings on multiple comedians who each do 10 minutes themselves.
Uh-huh.
And none of them are more than open micers, and they're on Netflix.
Oh my God.
And it's crazy.
Dude, that's actually kind of evil.
Yeah.
It's actually...
Because it's like, as an open micer... You should say no, and I'm not ready for this.
They're not going to say no.
Exactly. I would jump on that, and I'm not ready for Netflix, but I would do it.
I knew it. I was ready at 1 year in.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that is such a slap in the face to be like, hey, we're just going to show you off to the world, and you're just going to eat it. And everyone,
yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck I was even saying 1 year in, and I still should have had the Netflix special.
Wait.
But no.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people making YouTube specials. And you're like, should you be doing a YouTube special? Should you really be doing this now?
But
I don't know. I used to be critical of that, and then I realized those comedians are getting booked and getting shows. So
it's like, hey, live your life. You're on your own path. Well, do your thing. But also, like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like you should have a little self-awareness of like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if this
is... Rodney told me last week that a few years back there was a guy that had been doing stand-up for 6 months and tried America's Got Talent, used his best 3 minutes, and made it past the first round.
Uh-huh.
And then came to Rodney and was like, dude, you got to help me write because I got to do the next round of America's Got Talent.
Who is this?
I don't know who. He told me the name. I forgot.
Okay.
And he told the guy, he's like, hey, you come off like Emo Phillips. Like, you need to stop. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, I never heard of Emo Phillips. And Rodney's like, you better learn who he is because... Mm-hmm. Is there anything you hear? And he's like, yeah, you're like the 10th person to say that I remind them of Emo Phillips. And anywho, the guy somehow made it past the second round.
Wow.
Like Rodney helped him with his jokes. And then after that fizzled out. But with the America's Got Talent credit, was like, well, I'm a headliner now.
Oh, my God.
He had a solid 15, but couldn't fill 45 minutes. And so after like the fifth or sixth club, he stunk it up. All the clubs like start calling each other and like, don't book this guy.
Dude, well, that's the thing.
Did like, he couldn't even get a draw for crowd though with the America's Got Talent name.
He could get a draw, but he bombed so hard. All the clubs were like,
dang,
dude, don't, because people were
asking, gotta be bad because some clubs
were asking for refunds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, once you fuck with the money, all of a sudden, that's.
I was gonna say there had to be something there because like if as long as they're getting tickets sold, they don't care.
No, like I feel bad sometimes for like some of these comics who. Like they get success really fast and then it's like they have like, they have 15 minutes and then, you know, they have like all these huge TikTok clips, whatever. And then they have to go and be like, oh, well, now I can, you're going to get booked for an hour.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's just like baptism by fire. And it's like, I don't know. Cause I always heard when I got into this, like, it takes like 10 years to get good at this.
Yeah. And well, then it takes like 10 years to get your first hour.
Yeah. Like, just to kind of figure it's like so much. It's like, I don't even know what I'm fucking doing.
Yeah.
It's like, it just feels like you're just like this, we'll try this. And then like, you know, you do like 20 minutes and you're like, I'm just going to string this together. And then like, but like, I don't know. It just, it's so fucking confusing.
Yeah.
This whole thing. Like it's like, it's not like, this like just like set path of like do this then that and then all of a sudden it all like then you have 45 minutes.
Well, that's
like,
the thing is I remember watching this guy do like a, it was like a clip from a masterclass and this guy was asking Steve Martin like what you need to do to go pro and I was like, don't ask Steve Martin, he figured it out in the 60s. This is it's a completely
it doesn't do it anymore.
He could be honest with you and tell you he can tell you everything he did and it would not be relevant today.
It's like, I mean, that's why
I would trust him on how to be funny, but
like, dude, like the people who do like the comedy classes never really commit to this.
Shout out, I did it, but
no, like, was that how you started?
No, and I did it just because I like the guy who was teaching it.
That's what I mean. It's like the more what I mean is like the people who like before they even go to open mic, they take
class. Sign up for the class
because it's like that's like there's like a different kind of drive when you're like I'm just gonna go to this open mic,
yeah,
and then just keep going. And also like they're free.
Well, that's the thing that bothered me is when I did the comedy class and then I'd go to all the mics on and no one from my class was there. And I was like, guys,
like, well, I did it.
This is where we practice. Like this is where you actually figure out if it's funny or not.
A lot of people who are signing up for the class, it's they just wanted to check off like doing stand-up comedy on their bucket list. They did it.
I tried it. And then it's like also it's like it the now you're getting into like the real like grit of it, which is like, no, like now it's like you got to go and eat shit all the time and then slowly make friends. And then, but then like, that's the cool part is like, it's a weird journey of like trying shit out and like this kind of work, maybe I'll go down this direction. And then
and like, every now and then you'll have a really good set and you're like, oh, I got it figured out. And then you have 10 bad ones after that. And you're like, have I ever been funny?
Well, it's like, it's crazy how the bar moves too. Where like, you look back at the beginning of like when you started, like just getting like one kind of good laugh, you're like, I did amazing.
Yeah.
Dude. And then now if you only get like one laugh in like 3 minutes, you're like, I fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's
There are days I miss us performing for four people at Comedy Sports and then celebrating at Chili's afterwards.
You're like, hey, that wasn't all bad.
Yeah. You'd be like, hey, we got some laughs out of there, man.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I have like the first like five sets I ever did on my phone and sometimes I'll play them and like the ones that I thought were good and I'm like, I don't know how that carried me.
I mean, you have to be a little crazy to be like, nah, it's going good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. Like for me, I think for me, the main thing was like, well, if I quit, I'll never get better.
Yeah.
And then I just was like, well, I can do that.
Mike Birbiglia has a great quote about starting out comedy where it's like, you have to be kind of an idiot and eat shit, but tell yourself, actually, it's going quite well.
I mean, I don't think I ever was like, it's going well, but I was like
we were having fun.
Yeah. Any moment you get a bit of a laugh, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nowadays, fucking wild. But anyways, so yeah, dude, you're back from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You're here. Yeah. So what are you most excited about kind of being back in Utah?
I'm excited just to be around you guys again. Yeah. And like, honestly, that was a big part of it is, before I got laid off, at my last job, I was like really homesick for Utah. I kept seeing you guys do all these shows and I wasn't really getting invited to a whole lot of local shows in Oklahoma. So that sucked. But also I was away from family and like the mountains made a big difference apparently.
Dude, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
It's like everyone I know from Utah, when you leave, it's like one of the biggest things people talk about.
You wouldn't think it is, but
it's just such a part of your life.
It's a massive, yeah.
It sounds crazy, but like it's so real. It's like everywhere you go, you see him. You know what season it is. You know what direction you're going in. You know, like you know where you are.
The direction was the biggest part. Like I always know where east is if I can find Temp.
No, you find Temp. Yeah, even you go to Salt Lake. It's just so easy. Yeah, oh, it's north, it's east, it's west. But like.
I don't know the specific mountains in Salt Lake, but yeah, you know where the Wasatch Range is.
It's not hard because it's Salt Lake. It's like where is the Salt Lake?
Yeah,
and if you're looking like it's not hard. It's
Plus the grid system makes it easy in Salt Lake City too. Yeah.
Dude, shout out to the pioneer.
That's right.
Yeah,
Joe Smith was ahead of his time. Did you know they had shafts for elevators already before the technology was invented?
Look at that. I watched a whole video about the grid system in Salt Lake.
Did you really?
Yeah,
really?
Biggest city blocks I think in the world.
Really?
Or in like downtown Salt Lake. They're gigantic.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They're super wide streets. And part of that was like, I mean, there was this misplan. So they carried that out. Mm-hmm. But like part of that was because like
New York City was doing it too, though, right?
They're not as big as these blocks. And like the streets are just so huge. But I guess one of the reasons the streets are so big was you forget like back in the day, there was a lot more fires.
So
having a wider street, the fire can't jump to another building as easily. And I was like, I never would have ever thought about that. And then also, that was the plan Joseph Smith wanted. But, and so then like all the streets start at the temple and then it goes 100, 200, 300. So it's like, you just know how exactly how far you are away from the temple.
See, I love that about like the grid system is perfect, but did he really invent it? Because I feel like New York City had already had its grid system implemented.
He probably just was like, what if we made it bigger?
Yeah.
I don't think he figured out a square.
Because you don't realize how wide the streets are in Salt Lake. Like crossing the street in downtown Salt Lake, and then like I go back Spokane and cross the road.
For Drew, when he crosses the street in Salt Lake, he thinks that was a half marathon.
Yeah.
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 Did it in under 2.5? Not bad.
Under 2.5. Yeah. It took me 1 hour and 50 minutes to cross that street. But yeah, it's a fun time out here.
I'll tell you what I'll never complain about being back here in Salt Lake after living in Oklahoma City is homeless people.
None.
Dude, Salt Lake has barely any. Well, you were in Portland too. I bet Portland was just as bad.
No, it was definitely worse than Oklahoma City. Because when I was there, all the drugs were decriminalized.
Oh, yeah, so that's right.
It wasn't homeless. It was just drug addicts.
Yeah, but hey, they're going to find help now, right?
Yeah, dude, they're all. But you hop on the r/Portland on Reddit, and you see the real side of Portland.
I'm sure.
When everyone's like, "What if we just threw them all in
prison?" Oklahoma City was like that too. The subreddit is so funny because, like, for the most part, it's just food recommendations. Which, by the way, if you're visiting Oklahoma City, check the subreddit. There's a lot of good recommendations there. But then, one in every 10 is like, "What the fuck is with all these homeless people on 23rd?"
Well, what's the irony of like it's Portland?
Yeah,
you know, like it's. You know, it's labeled as like one of the most liberal cities in America.
Yeah.
And then you hear people's real thoughts. Because this guy had a
joke. No, you get annoyed enough.
This guy, Jake Silverman, great comic. Yeah, he had this joke where he was like, how many broken car windows does it take to get a Republican mayor of Portland? And it's a real thought.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. Because like, there's a lot of people I know who are like, I know two comics who got assaulted by homeless.
Dude, there's a comic did a whole bit about it in Oklahoma City about how a homeless person just stopped in front of his car with a knife and was like, give me your wallet. And luckily, it was in his car, so he drove away. But
a guy who just was standing outside of a bar and this dude just ran by and punched him in the face. And then this girl, she was at her job, and this guy yanked her ponytail to her, and she got a concussion. And like, anyways, so
closest I got was
Free Palestine.
Yeah. I had just done someone's podcast in Oklahoma City, JJ Wood, and I was walking back to my car, and there's this homeless guy who was just throwing haymakers in the air. I was like, I'm going to give him some space. And then he stopped in front of my car, and I was like, I guess I'm going for a walk tonight.
Yep.
And so I walked a few blocks and then came back. And then he was like sitting down, like calm and like maybe getting to sleep by my car. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to like open this thing and get in as fast as I can. But that was the most terrified I've been.
Oh, yeah. No, I had to do delivery.
Oh, yeah.
In downtown Portland, yeah. Where I'm like, I would have to walk in the street because the sidewalks was just drug addicts mm-hmm. on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Like full.
Yeah.
And I would just have to walk in the street. I had my Pit Vipers on, which made me look more like a cop.
Yeah.
And then I would just you just don't look anyone in the eye. And
that's
and that's what's good about the glasses. No one knows. And then you just barrel through everything.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, I could get through it fast, but like anytime I saw that my route was in downtown, it was just like okay. All right.
So when I started stand up in Spokane, like the club is like a block away from like where all the homeless camps
are. That's how the Bricktown Club and was too.
Because now they do like an email system. Bark, mm-hmm. Shout out Bark Entertainment. Bark does
it. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
But back then it was first come, first serve.
Oh, nice.
So we'd have to wait outside the club, show up like 2 hours early. Dude, it was 2 hours of getting harassed by homeless people.
Yep.
The whole time.
Yep.
And every time one's walked by the line of comedians, all the comedians are like trying to look away. Like, don't make eye contact.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, it's like you just can't. Like, they just all of a sudden, because you look at them like, hey, hey.
And my favorite one, though, was this homeless guy who would always stand at the order window of McDonald's drive thru and beg for money there.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me.
So you'd be like, no. And then he'd back away. And then you're like, yeah, can I get a double with... you just feel like such an asshole.
You know what I did? I ordered at McDonald's. I was like drunk in my car driving.
Yeah.
Because what else are you going to do?
Well, where else are you going to be drunk?
No one's pulling you over in Portland.
Yeah.
And then, dude, I'm like pulling up. This guy, black. I'm not going to say the race. The guy walks up to me just like, yeah, you know, like, hey, my mama, my family, just saying all this shit. I don't even turn my music down. I'm just like looking at him. There's this like house music just blasting. And I just go like, don't have any cash. And then I just pull forward.
Yeah.
One time this homeless guy came to me, asked me for cash. I was like, sorry, I don't have cash. And he's like, I was like, yeah, I don't carry cash. He's like, oh, but you carry cards.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but I'm not giving you my card. He's like, yeah, well, let's go to an ATM.
You go,
I feel like I'm getting robbed right now.
I knew a guy who gave square readers to homeless people, and I was like, you crafty motherfucker, that's awesome.
No, dude, it's the real move is you just go, I don't want to help.
Yeah. Or you just ignore.
You just go, I prefer you like this. You're in this position for a reason.
Yeah.
This is God's plan.
Also, which I'm glad I left right now too, because I'm sure it was the same in Portland. Once it gets hotter. So like mental health with heat and drugs, it's
works
just,
well.
Oh, dude, it gets bad.
No, it was, it was tough out there. Humidity is bad.
Yeah.
But,
well, Utah gets probably just the same heat as hot, Oklahoma, but like the humidity sucks.
No, I mean, like, also, I will say that when you're so hot, you know, I feel like I don't even really notice the homeless as much anymore because I'm just so fucking tired.
Well, I have good air conditioning in my car.
No,
so
but I had to work outside.
So. Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. But, I was getting like lightheaded. Anyways, so we covered it all. We did it all. How do we want to wrap this up?
Well, yeah, you're part of the team. Anything you want to plug?
I started a new podcast with a buddy of mine called We Don't Know Hockey. It is about two fans of hockey who don't know anything about the sport. We're just learning it because we're fans of Utah sports.
I feel like I should be on it.
You can be a guest on it. Yeah, we'd love to have you on.
Okay, never mind. I don't like the way you said that.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't like
speak to them. Yeah, you can be on. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm doing come just on. For one fucking episode.
Come on.
I'm going to be the third mic.
Huh? Come on. Dude, come on.
You're on our fucking podcast.
You're right. I fucked that up. Sorry. You're right.
You know, I don't want to do this. Hold on.
Let me apologize. I'm sorry.
Wait, you're right. I'll do it.
I have a hard time speaking for both people when the other person's not there, but you're right. Sorry. I have a podcast called We Don't Know Hockey. It's about two fans of Utah sports who are learning the sport of hockey.
Okay. And I can't be on it.
No, I would love to have you on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You should. I would love to have both of you guys as guests at some point.
Sure.
Oh,